Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio. Health, wellness, and fitness. Five days a week.
You hear the words gluten and gluten-free just all over the media. There's whole aisles devoted to gluten-free at the stores now. You think it's kind of a trendy new diet and everyone's going gluten-free, and do they really need to be? But what's the difference between true gluten problems, celiac disease, and gluten sensitivity? My guest today is Dr. Stephen Wangen. He's the medical director and co-founder of the IBS Treatment Center. Dr. Wangen, I myself, being an exercise physiologist, I hear people say, talking about nutrition, diet, weight loss all the time and every day, oh, I'm going to go gluten-free because then I'll be able to lose weight. Or I'm going gluten-free because there's just too much gluten in our diets. Are we overmaking the gluten problem in this country? Or is this really as big an issue as people make it? And is it something to cut out of your diet?
Well, there really is a big problem with gluten. And there are millions and millions of people who should not be eating gluten. And probably most of them don't even know it yet. But then, of course, anything that works for a lot of people, you know, then everybody thinks it's going to work for them, too. And they're going to say, well, I should go gluten-free, and maybe they don't even need to bother with it. And that's the tricky part about medicine, is what's right for one person isn't right for everybody. And so I think what we should do is break down some of these topics. Like you said, there's celiac disease, there's gluten sensitivity. And then there's kind of a third category of just gluten, a gluten-free diet, whether you, even if you're not particularly sensitive to it. And for people who are celiac, so that's the oldest kind of most well-known part of the gluten world. And it's people who would get sick from gluten, and their doctor would actually eventually figure it out. The gastroenterologist would figure it out and say, well, there's damage here that we can see, and it's caused by you eating gluten, and if you stop eating gluten, you're going to get better. And those patients could have digestive problems, and they could have constipation, or they could have diarrhea, or they could have bloating, or they could have gas, or pain, or any combination of those things, or non-digestive problems is the other challenge. They could have osteoporosis and not be absorbing their calcium well, and then after decades of that, end up being diagnosed with osteoporosis, and then somebody finally saying, wait a minute, why did that happen, and figuring out that they were reacting to gluten. Or they could have a chronic iron deficiency and say, well, why am I always low in iron? And
so how do you know if you want to...
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to start trying to sort of sort it out, and you eat a normal diet, you eat a stir fry one night, or the next night you decide to eat a loaf of bread, you know, you eat Italian bread, or you eat something along those lines, how do you know if gluten is the problem, and if it's something you have to cut out or see somebody about?
Well, that's the trick. If you're celiac, then usually your doctor is going to figure it out. I mean, nowadays they're testing more and more for that, and they'll probably figure out if you're celiac. The question is, if you're not celiac and you're gluten sensitive, then how do you figure it out? Because your doctor's probably not going to be able to help you figure that out, because doctors just aren't as in tune with that. And that could cause the same symptoms. So you could have the exact same symptoms. And people think that they're wildly different, that celiac disease is worse than gluten sensitivity, or that celiac disease is going to put you away further, and you know you're going to be in the hospital, or it's going to be more severe or a certain kind of symptom. And it's not. It's actually no different than gluten sensitivity, because you can be celiac and have very mild symptoms and yet be diagnosed as a celiac. And the same is true. You could be gluten sensitive and have very severe symptoms but not be celiac. And so, for example, I'll see patients who've been in and out of the hospital and they can't figure out what's wrong, and they do all the celiac testing along with every other kind of test they can think of, and they say, well, we can't find out what's wrong, and we don't know why you're so sick, you're in the hospital. So they just send them home, and then they keep ending up back in the hospital. And then we see them, and it turns out that they're reacting to gluten, and we take gluten out of the diet, and they're fine. And so the challenge is, well, how do you, like you said, how do you test for that? How do you figure that out? Well, if your doctor's not going to run the kinds of tests that can figure that out, then you're going to have to just cut gluten out and see what happens if you can't find somebody who's an expert in gluten sensitivity. And most doctors are not. That's just not their area. They're not really experts in food reactions. unless you have an anaphylactic reaction, but otherwise they're not experts in food reactions. So you need a doctor who is an expert in food reactions, and that's challenging because we don't have a lot of doctors like that. And what you might have to do is cut
more and more, I think, as more docs like you. I think as more and more docs like you come around, and more and more docs are recognizing the impact of nutrition, you know, on health and overall health and gluten and gut health and intestinal health and all of these things, I think we're seeing more and more docs get nutrition in their training. But so if you're going to cut gluten out, do you have to cut it out altogether? Can you have a piece of bread, or do you have to only go gluten-free for like a week and see how that sits with you? How long do you have to do it to see if it works?
Yeah, that's an important question because most people think, well, if I'm gluten sensitive, I don't have to be as strict about the diet. They think, well, I'm not celiac. I can eat gluten once in a while and it's no big deal. Well, the fact is just as many people who are gluten sensitive have to cut gluten out 100%. You have to cut it all out. And you have to do it for maybe a month or two before you can really start to see the changes, see the healing happening, and see your digestive system improving. And that means you have to be very thorough about it and very patient with the process and let it develop and let it keep it out of your diet. Because if you're gluten sensitive and you're just as sick as somebody who's celiac, you're going to have to cut it out for a while to find out if it's really going to help you. And that's what I'll find with patients is it's giving them that confidence to do this long enough to get better. And that's the trick is, people often think, well, I'm going to eat gluten-free, you know, kind of, sort of, most of the time, or when it's convenient, but I'm not when it's not. And that doesn't work for a lot of people. They end up getting sick, and they don't even avoid it long enough to really know how significant the problem is.
Well, that's the thing, is you have to avoid it long enough to say, okay, this is the deal, and this is what it's doing for me now that I'm kind of, you know, done with it. And then is it a lifetime thing? Do people develop gluten insensitivity as life goes on? Or if they find that they have a problem with gluten, is it something they have to stick with then for the rest of their life? I personally don't love a lot of gluten-free things.
Well, what I find is that just like with celiac disease, it seems to be just as genetic in that it can take time to develop. I mean, not everybody is born, you know, and all of a sudden they're reacting to gluten even when they're celiac. It can take decades before that develops, but it's genetic. And the same thing is true with the gluten sensitivity. Most people who are reacting, they might take decades to really develop those more significant symptoms that they notice. But it's something that they probably have to continue avoiding in order to get the benefits out of it. So fortunately, unfortunately, we're seeing more and more.
Because we have just about a minute left.
Yeah. Well, we're seeing more and more.
So give us your best advice in this last 30 seconds.
Well, I want people to realize that even if there's a possibility that they're gluten sensitive, even if they're very sick and they're not celiac and they're going to their doctor, and it's one of those areas, like all digestive areas, and that's why we developed the IBS Treatment Center, was because we see so many gaps in the medical system where people aren't getting better. They're going to their doctor and they're saying, well, I have these symptoms. I have gas, I have bloating, I have a digestive problem, and the doctor's not helping them. So at the IBS Treatment Center and on our website, what people see is we focus on those kind of people who are seeing their doctor and not getting help, and are missing, something's missing, and we need to figure out what that thing is that's missing, because there's hope for those people. You should be able to get better. There's a reason you have those symptoms.
Absolutely. Great information. You go to ibstreatmentcenter.com, and that's where you can find out all this information if you have a gluten sensitivity or if you have celiac or if you need help finding somebody who can help you figure it out. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening. Stay well.